Glory to God. Welcome everyone to Arise Family Church, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been on a series called Faith's Secret Weapon to Take New Territory. And our theme scripture is Psalm 118, verses 24 and 21. Verse 24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Verse 21 tells us what kind of day it is. It's the day of salvation. So this is the day. It's the day the Lord has made. It's the day of salvation. It's a day of deliverance. It's a day of freedom. It's a day of preservation. It's a day of healing. It's a day of health. It's a day of prosperity. It's a day of victory. It is the day of salvation. And it's the day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. And so it's because of the precious blood of Jesus that he made this kind of day. The blood, the Bible says that Jesus has secured for us a complete redemption through his blood. It's all because of the blood of Jesus. And so we started talking about faith's secret weapon. We talked about the praise cure. We talked about how to respond to frustration. We've already talked about expressions of joy. We talked about the shout. We talked about laughter. We talked about being filled with the Spirit. We've been talking about rejoicing. And then last week, we talked about one of the key results of rejoicing is reaping. Glory to God. If we want to reap money, if we want to reap finances, if we want to reap strength, if we want to reap wisdom, if we want to reap health, if we want to reap healing, if we want to reap freedom and deliverance, if we want to whatever we want to reap, rejoicing is a key element to reaping in our lives. Now, I want to start talking about the word praise. We've been talking about praise, using the word. We've been talking about rejoice and joy, but I specifically want to talk about praise today, probably the next few weeks. So, praise. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15. Says this, "By him, therefore," this is talking about Christ, "by him, by Christ, in him, through him, because of him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks or confessing to his name. So, I guess we understand one of the keys to our thanks is our confessing what he says about us. The word confess means to say the same thing. So if we're going to confess something to him, we ought to be saying what he says about us. And so thanksgiving is just saying thank you for what he said about us. Thank you, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, you bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. Thank you, you sent your word and healed me. Thank you that you're working all things together for our good. Thank you that you liberally supply everything we need, everything we want, and all of our business according to your riches and glory by the anointing. Thank you, we give. So people will give to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Hallelujah. Thank you. You are our source. You are our strength. You are our healer. You are our provider. Thank you. Thank you. We say what he says. Thank you. The love of God's been shed abroad in my heart. So love is my nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost and fire. Thank you. See, thank you. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Not occasionally, continually. Hallelujah. So first of all, let's go to Haggai chapter 8. Haggai chapter 8. I want to talk about a phrase that's used in here, and we're going to kind of launch out from here. Haggai. Right, Haggai. Chapter 1, okay, Haggai 1, 8. Haggai 1, 8. right. Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. So, let's go ahead and just kind of, we'll back up to verse 2. We'll start in verse 2. We want to get to verse 8. Verse 2 says, thus speaketh the Lord. So we want to be able to, we're backing up so we can kind of catch the flow. We want to understand what's being talked about here. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste, depopulated, and in ruins? Talking about the temple, the house of the Lord. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The Amplified Bible says, consider your ways and how you fared. In other words, consider your ways and what they have produced or the results that have come from you believing and acting the way you have. You have sown much and have bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And you have earned wages to put them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord. He says it the second time. In other words, this is very important. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Consider your ways and the results they have produced. Do you want and like the results that they have produced? If you don't like the results, it's time to make a change. Because we can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. What we're doing is producing the results we have, and if we keep doing it, we're going to keep getting the same results. So it's important that if we want to change our results, we need to change the way we think, the way we believe, the way we act. So, with that in mind, he says this in verse 8. Here's the change. He said, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, says the Lord of hosts. He said, so here's the issue. The issue is, you said it's not time to build the Lord's house. It's not time to focus on the Lord's stuff and his things. But we focus all our time on our stuff, all our time and effort and resources on our houses. And he says, so how has that worked for you? How has that worked for us? So he says, here's what you need to do. Is I want you to go up to the mountain, get some wood, and I want you to bring it back, and I want you to build the house. What I want you to do is I want you to build a habitation for the Lord. Build a house. Build the house. Build him a habitation. He said, you come, you build me a habitation, I will be pleased. And it will bring me glory, and I'll be able to manifest my glory. It'll give me glory, it'll bring me glory, and I will be able to manifest my glory. So it says, build me a habitation so he will be pleased and glorified and manifest his glory, his power, his presence, and his goodness. So with that in mind, building him a habitation, let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. So Israel has just come through the Red Sea on dry ground. They have made it to the other side safe. The Egyptian army has chased them through the gap in the river, and then the river closed, destroyed them all. And chapter 15, verse 1 says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown in the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father is God, and I will exalt him." We used to sing this song. "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider fell into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider fell into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, you've now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, you've now become my victory. And the Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Woo! Hallelujah. And so this is that song is taken directly out of Scripture. I like a lot of the songs from my teens and 20s, church songs, because they literally came out of the Word of God. He said, "Listen, I'll sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider have thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength. He's my song, and he's become my salvation." And the Hebrew word includes the word victory. He's our victory. Glory to God. The Lord's our victory. "He's my God, and I will prepare him a habitation." I will prepare him a habitation. The Hebrew word prepare a habitation is the Hebrew word navah, and it means to celebrate with praise. Lord is God. I will praise him. I'll praise him. I'll praise him. That's exactly, even though the King James doesn't say it that way, the New King James says it that way. I will praise him. Why? Because that's what the Hebrew word is. I'll celebrate with praise. I'll praise him. I'll praise him. I'll praise him. Hallelujah. So this Hebrew word navah means to rest as at home. To rest as at home. To beautify and to celebrate with praise. We're to prepare him a habitation. What does that mean? That means so he can rest as at home. We're building him a habitation so he can come and rest as if he's at home. It's to beautify him. It's to celebrate him with praise. To celebrate him with praise. Hallelujah. So this is what I want to talk about, preparing him a habitation, preparing him a habitation. How do we do that? We do that with our praise. We prepare him a habitation with our praise. Our praise builds him a habitation. Our praise creates an atmosphere for him to rest as at home, to build him a habitation. And as we build him a habitation, he said that he will be pleased and glorified, and he'll be able to manifest his logo, his glory, his power, his presence, and his goodness. By building him a habitation with our praise. With our praise. Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Let's go ahead and start in verse 1. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you hearest not, and the night season, and am not silent. Or my cross-reference says, there is no silence to me. In other words, we recognize Jesus found himself in Scripture and he said these words on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But how does this apply to us? We may find ourselves in a situation where it seems like, you know what? I've been praying and I've been asking and I've been talking and it just seems like nothing's been going on. Nothing's happening. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you not helping me? Why does it seem like my words, are you hearing me? Do you not hear me? I mean, what's going on here? It doesn't seem like anything is happening. Yet verse 3 says this, but. The first word of verse 3 is but. Okay, so when it seems like we're not being heard, when it seems like things are not changing, when it seems like we may be forsaken because nothing has changed overnight. Nothing's changed in a week. He said, but you are holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. You are holy. You are the one, the Holy One. You're the one who inhabits the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of His people. God inhabits the praises of His people. And this is something that has not changed and never will change. God inhabits the praises of His people. Now let's find out what this means. What does the word inhabit mean? God inhabits the praises of His people. The word inhabits is the Hebrew word that means to sit or settle down. To sit or settle down. To cause to settle. In other words, we can do something. God is saying we can do something to cause Him to sit and to settle down in our presence. We can cause Him to, there's something we can do that'll cause Him to settle down, to make to inhabit, to cause Him to tarry and hang out, to just relax and stay for a while. There's something that'll cause Him to abide. Let me just live there. Let me just hang out there. There's something we can do. It means to bring again to place. There's something we can do that causes Him to. There's something we can do that can bring Him to this place. There's something we can do that'll cause Him to show up at our address, where we are. It means to remain. It means to return. There's something we can do that'll cause Him to return again and again. To hang out, to inhabit, to settle down, to just remain, and to it means to seat. There's something we can do that creates a seat for Him to sit and settle down in. What is that something that we can do? Scripture says God inhabits the praises of His people. The word praises is the Hebrew word tehillah. And it means laudation, and it comes from the root word to be clear, to shine, to make a show, to boast, to be clamorously foolish, to rave, to celebrate, and to glory. So this is what we can do that'll bring Him and cause Him to come and sit down and settle down. This is what we can do that creates a seat, an atmosphere for Him to return, to abide, to tarry. This is what we do. Laudation. From the root word to shine. In other words, we shine the light on Him. The light's not on us. The spotlight's not on us. The spotlight's on Him. We shine on Him. He is our everything. We shine the spotlight on Him. He's the center of attention. It's to make a show. It's to boast. We're boasting in the Lord. Not in our great things. We boast in the Lord. Hallelujah. We may have done great things, but it's because the Lord has been with us. The Lord has helped us. The Lord has given us the wisdom. The Lord is our direction and our strength. We're boasting in the Lord. And it means to be clamorously foolish. That means clamorously means to be loud and attention-getting. Tehillah praise is about being loud and attention-getting. Tehillah is not about, I just have a silent song of praise. No, it's not. That's not what Tehillah is. Tehillah is not a silent song of praise. I just have a silent song of praise. No, there's nothing silent about it. Tehillah is loud, attention-getting. It's the word to rave, which means to party. It's a celebration. And it's to glory and glorify in Him. Hallelujah. God says He inhabits this kind of praise. This kind of praise builds Him a habitation. It causes Him to inhabit the atmosphere where we are. It causes Him to come and sit down and settle down and just relax and abide and tarry in the place where the praise is loud and attention-getting, the celebration and the party is in celebration of Him. Celebrating Jesus. Celebrating Him. God inhabits that kind of praise. This is how we build Him a habitation. This is how we build Him a habitation. This is how we build the seat for Him to come sit and settle down in. This is how we build Him a habitation that pleases Him, that glorifies Him, and gives Him an opportunity to manifest and demonstrate His glory, His power, His presence, and His goodness. It's because it's in His presence. It's in His presence. God inhabits the praises of His people. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to be silent. There's a time to be still and know that I am God. But that's not this kind of praise. This is not the time for that. The kind of praise that builds Him a habitation, the kind of praise that He inhabits, the kind of praise that attracts His attention and causes Him to come and settle, that causes Him and makes Him to inhabit, is this Tehillah praise. It's this celebration. It's this clamorously foolish. We must be okay with not being dignified. If we want to be dignified, then we will never get ourselves into a place where we cause Him to settle and bring Him again to our address. If we just want to be dignified. I heard someone say, you need to get ugly when it comes to praising God. You need to get ugly. What does that mean? That means sometimes you just need to be clamorously foolish. We may need to do something outside of our personality . Like when I rejoiced a few weeks ago. It's just clamorously foolish. It's just rejoicing, jumping, spinning. Hallelujah. This is clamorously foolish. It's just our being excited about Him. Our being very clear who we're glorifying, worshiping, and who our answer is, who our hope is, who our strength is, who we love. And it causes Him to settle down, to inhabit, and to come again to this place. He likes coming again. You know, we go to a restaurant over and over because we like it there. Right? You go to a restaurant and you don't like it there, you don't go back. Right? Listen, we want him to show up, to make. We want him to bring again to this place. We want him to come again. And the reason he comes again is because he enjoys himself. He's pleased. Amen? And this is what causes him to be pleased. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 134. Psalm 134. Psalm 134. All right, let's just start in verse 1. It says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." Verse 2 says this, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So what I want to start doing is talking about some more different praise words. So we talked about Navah already. We talked about Tehillah. I want to talk about a number of different ones. We'll actually get into more next week because we're going to kind of get into the process. Or there are steps. There's a way that Scripture tells us how to move in this praise. And so we're going to get into that next week. But we're going to see here, Psalm 34 says, "Lift up your hands and bless the Lord." Lift up your hands. So that's another way to praise him, by lifting our hands, by lifting our hands. Lift up your hands and bless the Lord. It's the Hebrew word barak. Barak. Barak means to bless God. It means to kneel. It means to bless. It means to thank. It means adoration. Now, a lot of these words will have very similar things. So it's going to be very interesting as we go through this. So there may be similar words, similar meanings, similar, but they're going to, each word will, they'll begin to, they look different. They sound different. Understand, Tehillah is clamorously foolish. Tehillah is loud and attention-getting. Okay? You know, to celebrate, that's what it looks like. We'll find out. Barak means to bless God. It means to kneel. It means to bless, to thank, and adoration. So we can see, he said, "Lift your hands and begin to bless the Lord." Lift your hands and begin to adore him. Lift your hands, and even it gets down, lift your hands and kneel. Lift your hands and kneel. So this is different. This is not going to be as loud. This is not clamorously foolish. But to some people, this can still be very uncomfortable because it's not dignified. It's not like the way they do it in their church. You know, their church, they stand like this. Don't smile. Don't move. Don't clap. Don't raise your hands. Just have a song of praise in your heart. No, that's not Scripture at all. It's not Scripture at all. So, lift your hands and barak the Lord. Bless him. Kneel. Be thankful. And in adoration. Adoration. Lift your hands and barak the Lord. Lift your hands and bless him. Thank him. Adore him. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Now, I want to read the whole psalm, and then we're going to come back to a couple verses. As the deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember thee, these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that have kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? My mind, my will, my emotions. Why are you cast down, and why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and so on. Deep calls to deep, verse 7, at the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies approach me while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I remember Brother Hagin talking about one day he was coming home from a meeting, and it was a warm evening, and I think he was coming home, and so he was driving in Texas, and he had the window down in his older vehicle, and he said all the four tires are bald, and he's just rejoicing because the Lord is good, and he's driving down the highway heading home, and he says it seemed like the devil caused my one tire to start singing. And he said he was singing, and he said, what you going to do now? What you going to do now? Because they didn't give him, his offering wasn't big enough. And I think, I might be mixing up a few stories, but I don't know if Christmas was coming, but there just wasn't enough money. What you going to do now? 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 And then he said, it seems like one of the other tires joined in and started singing. You know, a duet. What you going to do now? What you going to do now? What you going to do now? And then he said a trio, one of the other tires, you know, joined in. He's driving down the highway in the night, driving home. What you going to do now? What you going to do now? What you going to do now? And then all of a sudden, there was the quartet, all four tires singing. What you going to do now? What you going to do now? What you going to do now? This is what David is saying. He says, the enemy has said, where is your God? Where is your God? Where is your God? What are you going to do now? Where's your God? You've been talking this. You've been talking the Word of God. You've been talking about God's way of doing things. Where is your God? What you going to do now? What you going to do now? And he said he got just so tired of it. He just yelled out in the dark. He says, I tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm going to go home and I'm going to go to sleep and I'm going to have a great sleep. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going home and going to bed. I'm going to have a great sleep. I refuse to fear. I refuse to get under pressure. Where's your God? Our God is not lost. Our God is not defeated. Our God is not deaf. Our God is not moved on. That's what Elijah said to the prophets of Baal. Where's your God? Living Bible says, maybe he's in the bathroom. You got to get louder. Maybe he's gone on vacation. But I tell you what, our God, where's your God? He's working. He's working mightily. He's moving. He's faithful. He's true. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to deny? Why? Because the devil is wanting to get our soul to be beaten up. This is what we talked about. Staying in the ring. This is his strategy to get us out of the ring, out of the fight of faith. What you going to do now? Get so caught up in our mind, our will, and our emotions. Where's your God? Where's your God? Where's your God? What are you going to do now? And David says, listen, why are you cast down, soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Come on, hope thou in God. Put your expectation in him. Expect him to be working and moving. Put your expectation in him and what he said. Hallelujah. Stick with him. Stick with him. Where is our God? We know exactly where he is. Hallelujah. He's not gone anywhere. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 5. And then verse 11, he repeats himself. Yet I will praise him. When it doesn't look like everything's changing overnight right away, when it doesn't seem like anything's working, seems like. He said, listen, my expectation is in God and what he said, and yet I will praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I will praise him for the help of his countenance. So, what do we got here? Psalm 42, verse 5, he says, I will yet praise him. For his presence is salvation. That's what the New King James says. For his presence, his countenance, his presence is salvation. His presence is our help. His presence is salvation. I will praise him because his presence is salvation. So, what kind of praise is this? This is yada praise. Yada praise. What's yada praise? Well, the word yud means hand. Yud, hands. It means hand extended. Hand extended. It also means this, to throw and to cast. It means thanksgiving and it means praise. So this hands extended, it's not that they're just extended and stationary. There's something about these hands that are extended that there is a throwing and a casting action. There is action to it. Woo! Glory to God. There is action to these extended hands. And these hands are extended in thanksgiving and praise to the one who is our God, who is our hope, the one who our expectation is in. Yada praise, yod, hands, extended. Amen? Hands, extended. Hands extended. So I want to just close here. And we'll pick up next week. But yada praise. Can you see how this is? Nava is to bring him to a place where he can rest as if he's at home, building him a habitation. And then Tehillah praise is this clamorously foolish party celebration, exciting time to glorify and magnify and to shine the spotlight on him and to celebrate him. And then we saw Barak is this place where we bless the Lord, we kneel, and we're thankful, and we're adoring him. And yada is this a little more, again, active, thanking and praising God with our extended hands. There's a throwing and a casting motion and movement in it. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're rejoicing. We're celebrating. We are rejoicing and glad in him. Amen? Can you see how this is? We're building him a habitation. We're learning how to build him a habitation so he can come, so we can please him, and he can come and be glorified and manifest his glory, because it's in his presence. It's in his presence. We see here, I will yet praise you, for your presence is salvation. Your presence, there's healing. In your presence, there's deliverance. In your presence, there's peace and rest. In your presence is protection and safety. Right? Can you see this is why Paul and Silas, when they prayed and sang praises to God, God inhabited. God showed up, sat down, and literally shook the building. And his presence brought salvation and deliverance and protection to Paul and literally Silas. And the chains came off and the doors opened. Sometimes we're caught up in just the prayer, just the prayer, just the prayer, just pray the prayer, just pray the prayer. But it doesn't say God inhabits the prayer. He hears the prayer. But he inhabits the praises. He inhabits the praises. He inhabits the celebration of him. And he shows up in his presence. When he inhabits the praises, in his presence there's salvation. So we can receive salvation. We can receive the victory. We can receive the healing. We can receive the provision and the prosperity and the healing and the health and the wholeness. We can receive salvation in his presence. But we build him that habitation. We cause him to come and show up where we are with the vehicle of praise. The act of praise causes him to come again. Causes him to come again. Amen? So let's pick up next week and just find out a little bit more about how do we do this then. All right? Glory to God.